Welcome everybody. Mazel tov all to those for the simcha that's going on, and I hope you have enjoyed this shiur on the MP3. Okay, so last week we had a case where partners broke up their partnership. Reuven wanted to get the head start. He wanted to break away from the partnership and prevent his partner from working until he gets into the market solid ahead of his partner. So what did he do? Very wickedly, he sent an email to his partner, not realizing that he's breaking away, so it'd be naturally he would just open it up, the email. Inbuilt in that email was a virus which destroyed a lot of his files, which could never be returned, which are worth money, and the whole computer system was down that he could not really get back on his feet for a month. So he's making two claims. The two claims was, you actually damaged me monetarily with destroying the information which I can never recover, which is worth money. I want you to pay for the damage that your email did when I opened it up. And secondly, I was out of business for a month, trying to recover, and I lost wages for a month. Please pay for those wages. So last week, we were discussing about the email. Are you liable for damages that we sent an email on purpose with a virus in which is going to destroy monetary information there? Are you liable to pay? And we said, well, according to the concept that we learnt, that there's a get-out clause, even though you're wicked, but there's a get-out clause, is if the person brings the damage, at the end of the day, it was finished off, he brought the damage upon himself. The Gemara says, Habi lo sochel, you should have not eaten it, in this case, you should not open up the email. By you opening up the meal, you yourself finish yourself off by damaging yourself. The chora there, you don't have to pay. Because there's a Gemara, says a Baba Kama, when you finish it off, when you do the actual final makeh b'patish by damaging yourself, that actually releases the person who damages you. So, here, in this case, he opened up the email, he damaged himself at the end of the day. So he said, well, there's a chazanish. The chazanish, in Simon Ches, Sifkot and Tesin, Baba Kama last week tells us that, what's the Gemara talking about when you put food which is not good for the animal, you put it in front of him, and then the animal eats it and he gets ill because you put food in it. So you are naughty, but you don't have to pay because the animal brought the damage on this. But what about when you don't just put food in front of you, but you open up the mouth of the animal and you put the food in his mouth, and all the animal does is chew it and swallow? Do you also say, well, he should not have swallowed it, and therefore there's a release? Says the Chazanish, no, I don't think so. You're going to be chayav in that case. So we were clearing, we were saying, what's the status of opening up the email? Is opening up the email like the virus was in front of the animal, and therefore opening up, there's a release, you don't have to pay? Or is like the opening up the email was, is that the virus was like ki'ilu in the mouth of the animal, and you opening up, therefore does not release the person from pain? So we said, what's the difference between putting in the animal or in front of the animal? We said, in the animal, why is it different? He still has to chew. In the animal, it's just instinct. Once something is in his mouth, he chews. He doesn't make any decision. If it's in front of him, the animal has to make a decision. Do it, he eats. But if it's in his mouth, it's instinct. Once there's no decision process involved, then there's no release clause for the person to put the danger in front of the person. So there's an instinct. So therefore, we now have to declare when your friend sends you an email, for your friend, your partner, who you every day you open up emails from him. And today you also open up. Inbuilt it was a virus. Was that a decision of, I'm opening it up, and therefore releases the person from the who sent you the virus, or was it instant? Without thinking, you opened it up and it brought it upon the person. Yeah, so. So we said it's a machlokes. Is it instinct or not? In this particular botatim, at this basin, from Silicon Valley, Tintura, they passed that the virus opening up such emails called instant, and he's had to pay. Our Dionim hold that virus. You can't get the person who sent in halakhically, he's chayav b'dei shamayim, he's a rasha, marusha, maybe terrible. But getting forced to be paid, there's a release clause, because he is not a human being, he's not instinct. A human being always has to make decisions. And therefore there's a release clause by emails. That's what some Dayan would say. Other side, no, this is an instant, and therefore there's a release, and this is what this base statue held at the time, and therefore there's no release, because it's instinct, and that he had to pay. Now, what does he have to pay? That's what we're discussing.
This was Eretz Yisrael based on American based?
This is American. Now, what does he have to pay? What does he have to pay? Of course he has to pay for the, if you're chayvim, for the email damage of the virus, did to the actual information came in, took, wiped off the information, which you can never acquire, that you have to pay. Whatever that market value is of that information. We have to work out what's the market value. But does he have to pay now for the fact that he was out of work for a month?
So the forest, Shevis Kalim,
is what's the Kalalim? I damaged somebody that now he's out of work for a month. Do you have to pay for that or not? What's that called?
If it's Choldel B'chaveiro, that's Shevis on the person. But if I damage his Kalim, that's not Shevis for him, that's Shevis for Kalim. Then I'm mostly Shevis for Kalim.
The Kalal is like this.
Pay for potential, lost opportunities.
Lost profits?
Lost profits we don't pay. That we don't pay. But we're talking about, what do we do? There's such a thing as called Shevis. What's Shevis? Shevis means I put the person, I damage him in such a way, I put him, he's in bed for a month, he's out of work for a month, he can't do business for a month. So not only am I hired for the value that he himself physically has deteriorated because of the injury I did to him, all the embarrassment I did to him, all the pain I did to him, all the medicine that he has now to get himself better, I have to pay, but I also have to pay for the value he's out of work for a month. That's called Shevis. When I do that.
And that's not until he recovers.
No, that's what Rafur is, just paying for the medical bills.
Yeah, but Shevis is when the guy gets hurt. This is, he's not hurt.
I'm just giving you a definition.
Okay.
That's Shevis. Yeah. I hit him, he's in bed for a month, have to pay for his wages for that month. He lost. There's something that's only true if I hit him. I put him out of action for a month. If I don't hit, put him out of action. What I do is I put his cow out of action for a month. He always rents his cow out. Rents his horses out for use. And I go ahead and put his horse out of action for a month. That you don't pay for. Because that's called, you only pay for Shevis when you damage the human being. You damage his money, you pay for damages, but not anything else. You don't pay for Ripway, you don't pay for Sa, you don't pay for Busha, you don't pay for Shevis of monetary damage. When you damage someone physically, you get all those things, but not much. Now, the question is, when he sent this email and now he can't work for a month, is that called damaging his animal? That his animal can't work for a month, and therefore you don't pay for that wages. Or is that called damaging him, that he can't work for a month, and therefore you would pay for his wages? What is it? Well, how do we look at it?
Depends how high his blood pressure was. I mean, you're not doing anything physically to him, so it's damage of his animal, his computer. Zora, I see your smile means that.
There's no physical damage, therefore. It's not the Shevis of the Torah.
Please, bullshit to everybody here tonight. That, there's no physical damage. What you damage? What you damage in this particular case?
The computer!
It's like damaging the animal. Okay. You damage his animal. His animal's out of work for a month. You don't pay for that work for a month. And therefore, computer. Eric, welcome. We are discussing now, this particular moment, is that the second part of the shine, you pay for the damage which the virus did. But we're asking that it's just not just the damage the virus did to his information, but he was out of work for a month. Do you pay for those wages? So he said that's under the concept of shemesh. Shemesh means you damage somebody and he's out of work for a month, he's a bed for a month, you pay for his damages. But if you damage, as if you damage him physically, but if you damage his cow, that he can't rent his cow out for a month, you pay for damages, but not loss of income. Loss of income you only pay if you pay damage him, not if you damage his one. Question is this case like damaging the animal, and therefore you're not going to pay for his month wages, or it's like damaging him, and he can't work, you damage him, and therefore you do pay for loss of wages. Everyone here until you came and said, it's like the animal, so you're not going to pay for the wages. I was wondering whether you would say different.
It's not the same, damaging
his computers, they're damaging. Exactly, so everyone has agreements, I'm wonderful. Now, there is a Rosh, and I want you to try and explain to me. A person is in at home.
Is at home or isn't at home?
He's at home. Reuben's at his house. What Shimon does? Shimon says, I want to damage him. How? I'm going to lock the door. He can't get out. Lock the door and he can't get out. He locks the door, can't get out for a month. Yeah. Now he's lost wages for a month. Now tell me, what should be the halakha in that case? Do you pay for those wages or not?
It's a grammar.
Do you pay for those wages that he lost by you locking up the door?
Lechaora not.
Not quite the same.
I'm not saying the same, I just want you to say what the result with before you say is it the same or not the same. I know you're a professor, but let's take stage by step. Stage. Is that called damaging him or damaging his animal by that such action?
Damaging him, maybe, but it's not actually damaging him physically.
If damaging him has to be a physically damaging him, it's not. Which means
if you can say it's like damaging him.
So the Rosh says, you're chayav to pay for shemesh. That's called damaging him. Even though you didn't touch him, you didn't lay a finger on him. All you did is lock the door. And by doing that, he can't do work for a month. That's called shemesh. You have to pay for that as wages.
Can't do work, and now he's not inside.
That means you've locked him inside, and therefore he can't do work, and therefore you're paying. What you says? You're paying for lost wages now.
Because he's locked inside, he can't do any work. He can't even look for work. It's like he broke his leg.
So, do we have a proof from there that our case is comparable to that?
What's the reason he gives for why that's called down? What's the reason the Rosh gives?
Okay, so let's read the Ksos. Ksos and Shimon Sabra Gimel Sifkot and Gimel says like this, I don't understand the Rosh. The Rosh said in the one place, you lock him inside, you're chayav to pay for his wages. And another place he says, if you lock up his shop, that he can't get into his shop, then you don't pay for his wages. What's the difference in locking up his shop, he can't get in the shop, there you don't pay for wages, but if you lock him in his house, then he can't go to his shop, then you do pay wages. What's the difference?
Good question.
So it says the Ksos. Gabi Otom Ba'otom Ato'a Ribs in the Chai Batan and Devarim, I feel a Shevish Lebewok in Nesek. When a person damages a person, then you have to pay for shadows, lost wages. Abu Beniske Shah, if you damage his money, no chayter. and the benazik raja only for deterioration of value, not lost wages. Mishumaki, therefore. But no, Beso, if you just lock up his house, the legate in Nezek and Basha Shobas and that the only damage is now the house, meaning in this case, the shop. You lock up his house, i.e. his shop, where he can't get into his shop. Mulato, Aiden Shevis, but also the Azik Shah or Shabom. That's called not damaging his money. But if you're locking him in the house, that's called damaging him. So what does the Rosh say the difference is? Is that depends, are you stopping him going to the shop by holding him in one place, constricting him in his movements, then like Eric said, that's like breaking his leg in a certain way, and therefore it's called you're damaging him by because you're constricting him, you're locking him in the house, you're not doing anything to his shop. You're locking him in the house, so you can't get to the shop, that's called damaging him! So you have to pay for wages. Or, he's talking about, but in the case where you just lock up the shop, and not doing anything, he's walking around like him, you just can't get into the shop, then you're damaging his money. Therefore, you don't have to pay for wages. So therefore, let me ask you over here. What happened with this virus? Is the virus which you sent, was sent, which destroyed his computer and is out of work, put to work for a month. Is that like locking him up in the house where you pay for wages? Or is it like locking his shop that he can't get into the shop where you don't pay for wages? Which one does it fit into?
I'm still having trouble making the distinction between two, but to me it's clearly like locking the shop.
Yep, so everyone's correct. It's like locking the shop because you're not doing anything to him. All you did is the computer is, let's say, the shop. And you took the computer and you covered it over in a way you can't touch it for a month. Then, of course, that's called you affected the shop. You did nothing to him. He's walking around just trying to get into the shop. He couldn't get into the shop. I had the computer. You couldn't do it for a month. So, therefore, that's called Shovus. Shovus McGavin, you don't have to pay. So, therefore, the conclusion of the Dinsera. This Mason said, sending an email is called damage, and therefore you have to pay for that immediate damage of lost information, whatever that value is. But the fact now, the consequential damage that he can't have wages for a month, that's called service of his money, you don't get. We'll get back to that at later stage. This loss is very important for another dinner. Have that in mind for the
time. What about the Nezek aspect of the computer system? He has to pay to fix it.
That depends if it's a Ripoy. Which we need to find what Ripoy is and Nezek is. You need to bring somebody in, then of course you have to pay for the actual cost. Fixing cost. Yes? Now, let's go on to the next intro. Ruvain walks into a shop. He's just bought a new fridge. His wife has been begging for a new fridge for years. Finally, he gives in to his wife and buys her a new fridge. He walks in and says, look, to the shop, I just bought a new fridge. I've been talking with my electricians, and they say in this country, electricity goes up and down, it's not good for your appliances. I want an adapter which will control the amount of electricity that goes into the fridge, that is uniform and therefore have no problems with affecting my new fridge. New. Have you got that? Said, of course we got that. The shop. And he said, this is what you need to use for your fridge. So he takes the adapter home, puts it in, within a few minutes, and the whole fridge engine is blown. The new fridge engine blown. Confirmed events. So he goes back to the shop and says, it's a faulty adapter you gave me. Okay, I'm sorry, we always like to please our customers. We'll give you another adapter. So he says, you don't understand what your doctor does. Is not, I don't want this. I don't need your doctor. I don't need your doctor. I asked for an adapter. And you gave me an adapter. You know what your adapter was faulty? And it blew up my fridge. And you owe me a new fridge. I just bought a new fridge. I wanted an adapter which makes uniform electricity flow so everything will be good for my new fridge. I asked you, this is what I need. This is the perfect thing. I got it. It was a faulty adapter. It blew up my fridge. Not only do you owe me a new adapter, we have no use for it at this moment in time because I've got no fridge. You owe me a fridge. Hear me, you're clear on the case. You can all think of it, I'll repeat the case to you. Ruben moves into the shop. He's finally bought this new fridge for his wife, he's been begging for years. He goes to the shop and says, I'm going to look after my fridge.
Don't buy an adapter.
That's why you're here tonight. He said, I bought this new fridge, I want to look after it. So he goes to the shop and says, I bought a new fridge. I want it to be good. I heard in this country electricity goes up and down, so the client says, I want an adapter which meets uniform electricity. Have you got that? Of course we have. He gives it, this is what you need. Goes home, plugs it in, with the humans, the whole thing's, the engine's gone. Goes back to the shop and says, 40, yeah, well, I'll give you a new adapter. No, I don't want a new adapter, I want a new fridge. You ruined my fridge.
What is the warranty say? Well, the first thing is, what does the warranty say? What does the warranty on the adapter say? Usually it's very specific. We don't cover damage for external machines, or we do.
It doesn't say that.
Really?
It doesn't say.
Very unusual. Okay.
Doesn't say. Now, the question is like this. What's the shine? For you and me, you haven't been here for the last 2 or 3 weeks. I'm going to explain what's the shine. Something here. That's what you're saying. So the answer is that it's Aish. I gave you something which is a broken adapter. Not only is no good, it's dangerous. It damages. I gave you something dangerous, like the knife on the roof that the wind blows down and damages something. It's called fire. So here I gave you an adapter that's dangerous, and you're the wind by plugging it into your fridge. You are the wind that put it in the, blew it onto the, and it got, you damaged the fridge. Wind, you were the wind, and therefore the adapter, the dangerous item, the adapter, was blown onto the fridge and destroyed the fridge. You were the one who created Aish by giving me the adapter.
So that's the release?
That is the idea that should be a chiyuv. The chiyuv was saying is that, you the shopkeeper, not only knew me adapter, you ruined my fridge by giving Mazik of Aish, Mazik of Aish. Yes, we've learned in the last few weeks. What did we learn in the last few weeks? There's a sort of get-out clause. Human beings can be considered wind, but only if they're not the ones who themselves getting damaged. If you put the food in front of the animal eats it and he gets damaged, then it's a release clause because he brought it on for himself. How do you know something? He should not have eaten it. He brought it on himself and releases the one who put the dangerous item in front of him. Yeah, that's the taboo, which is changed into hair remover, where the guy lost all his hair. He was released from pain. Yeah. Because he shouldn't have put on his head. He brought the mazik on himself. So he also, Aish, at the shop, he comes out. And that's not me, I gave you Aish. But how did the fish get damaged in the end? You plugged it in, so you brought the damage on yourself. So there's a release. I don't have to pay.
No,
do we accept such a thing?
He did not bring the damage on himself.
Do we accept such a thing? Do we say he brought the damage upon himself or not in such a case? Is it like the case of the shampoo where you say, yes, you're released, you don't have to pay for the hair you remove? Or is it like the case which we discussed last week of the email which has the virus, where you said, you opened up the email and it destroyed his system, and he said, I brought it myself? No, because it's instinct. When it's instinct, there's a release. And some Dayanim say, human beings, there's no instinct, there's no release. Machlok is whether the email is called instinct and no release, or decision and release. Is it like the email better than the email, or like the hair remover?
roll of the grass.
Is it like the roll in the grass? Why is it like the roll in the grass?
Because you see the roll, you see this device, which is supposed to be something at its side.
This is how it is. This is, I'm giving you an item which you think is an adapter, you think it's shampoo, it ends up being hair removal. There's nothing in this item which is not what you want in, is hidden. This item is as it is.
It's
what it is.
Set on the bottle.
Let's say I created this adapter in a way where it's built in that damages. It's not hidden. This is how you create a damage. How do you ruin someone's fridge? By building this item.
So I think it's
so you hide something inside the item. This is how you build the damage item.
I think it's like nice.
You think it's good, it's not. It's like the shampoo with the hair removal. That's for sure. China is it like the email where it's instinct, and some Dianian will let you off because there's no instinct by human beings, but therefore you enter this smart locus, which on the dinner you go to, or it's like the hair remover, and therefore everyone agrees you're possible.
I think it's like neither.
And or you say like neither, I'm willing to accept every possibility.
I think it's like the sugar.
You like the sugar?
So Shlomo Zalman.
Okay.
Shlomo Zalman said it was the man who
put salt instead of sugar.
Right. No, the husband, it was the wife who doesn't, the sugar doesn't belong to her. She's the one that put the salt in the cake, so she ruined it. Here, it wasn't the man that ruined the fridge. His plugging it in didn't ruin it. It's the electric company sending the current that ruined it.
I think that matches his right.
The electric company who sent the electricity that's ruining
wrong.
It.
No, he said the adapter was faulty. Who cares? If the electric company didn't send the electricity, nothing would happen.
Matters is saying that, you know what damaged it? It wasn't me putting it together. I didn't bring it upon myself. It was the electricity company. They were on their bicycles, pumping hashmal into my wires, and their bicycle movement, the next bicycle movement after I connected it, destroyed my
it's
bridge.
Actually,
they did it,
it's
yes?
Actually Mamish wind that does that.
Are you willing to accept that? Maybe in 1910 I would accept such a possibility of the explanation of Hashmal.
Why? That's who's doing it. That's who's
got
the
DC, not DC.
What's the difference?
Could argue that with AC.
The electrician disagrees with you. Okay, that's enough for me to. That's enough. On that because you're gonna argue with me another because of that because you disagree you support me.
This is better than instinct because I'm so much on a moonshot. I don't even have to think.
So you're very good tonight. Very good. Dan has managed us a new stage in this. There's something bringing upon yourself, and there's something is instinct, and human beings, is it instinct or not, and that's not called bringing upon yourself? If it's instinct, it's not bringing yourself. Decision making, it is bringing yourself. That we said last week, human beings is a machlokes as well as concept of instinct by human beings. Okay? Therefore, by emails, there's a whole bunch. Here, everybody would agree that you're tired. Why? As Dan said over here. You come to somebody and says to him, look, I'm not going to make any decision over here. I'm relying you on totally. You should know I'm relying on you totally. I don't know anything.
That's not what happened, though.
Reagan, let me say that before you argue. I'm making any decisions over here. You tell me what to do. I'm relying on you. And you tell me what to do. And I have a right to rely, I'm telling you, I'm relying on you. And I do it, then it's not a decision over there. There, it's not me bringing myself. You took me out of the equation by saying, trust me, I'm going to tell you this is what you need, this is what you want, rely on me. And I say, okay, you've already taken me out of the picture, and that's not called already a decision, and therefore everybody, even those who normally say human beings is a decision, never instant, and therefore there's always a get out clause, even by emails, would agree here when I say, I'm relying on you, I'm not going to make any decisions, then the action I'm doing at that stage is not a decision, that's just a shlichus of whoever told me this information, and therefore I can bring it for myself. It's the person who told me this information, his the one is really finishing off, and therefore everybody will agree you're chayav in such a case.
He wasn't told the wrong thing.
He was given a faulty device. He wasn't told the wrong thing. He didn't give bad advice. He didn't tell him something stupid. He could have been the biggest expert in the world. One day it says, oh, I've checked all that. This is what you need. Let me in. Blah, blah, blah. Now, Gavni, I'm relying. I mean, I'm taking on responsibility. As soon as you do this and say, this is what you need for what you want, then I am basically myself in the blocks for any responsibility.
So why don't I say,
and I'm the one who's making calculated decision to make, say, yeah, I want to sell this project. I'm going to tell this is what is needed. I don't really know whether this is the faulty or not, but I'm prepared to say these words in order to sell the project. I'm making a calculated gamble because most times it's okay. So therefore, when I say these words, then I am taking you out of the picture and putting responsibility on me who's giving this information over.
So why don't we say that by the sugar?
Because there he never said anything.
Really, that's a big sign. If you need sugar, this is what you want.
Who changed it?
Who cares?
No, he didn't put out the sign at all.
What do you mean? Who?
He didn't put out the sign. The one who put the salt in the sugar didn't put out the sign. You didn't ask me for information whether it's good or not. Yeah?
So if it was his assistant that gave him the adapter, that would be different? If he said, this is what you need, and the assistant gave him the adapter, that would be different?
If it's not part of his job.
I don't see the difference. The sugar is part of his job description, to put sugar in that bin. That's what he's supposed to do.
Yeah.
He put salt in the bin.
And
the bin says, if you need sugar, that's what you want.
You didn't ask me.
Who cares?
He
didn't ask him. He told him, I need an adapter. Somebody else told me that. No. You have one.
Let me put this message.
Then he volunteered.
When you buy a bag and it says sugar on it,
you're
making your decision yourself that the sugar sign is correct. And that it is sugar, and I'm not going to check it, and therefore you're bringing it in yourself unless you're the wife, and therefore you're not bringing it on yourself. But in this case, when I'm coming up to you, I said, I don't rely, I know it says adapter on it, but I'm not relying, I'm relying on you. Is this really the adapter I need? Is this really what I'm relying on you? I want you to give me information besides what's written on the actual packet. Then that is called, you are now making decision in place of me, and therefore damages you are, who are the owner of the damage, and giving information on the damage, and telling me to use it, and now responsible according to everybody.
But he never asked him for information.
Yes, he did.
No, he didn't. He said, I need this. He volunteered.
Do you hear the conversation? I have a new fridge. Hashmal goes up and down. I want you to fill
somebody
the
else.
Fridge, which
somebody
is good for Irving. Have you got a product here which will be able to do that job for me? And he says, yes, this is the one.
Right.
Yes.
This is the product.
That's advice.
I'm telling you, this is what you asked me for.
No. So that's advice.
I have a question to ask.
Yes.
Two people go and buy a fridge. One goes in and reads out all the brochures and all the information in the fridge according to what he's, he knows what he wants and he buys a fridge.
Okay.
Another one comes in and he says to the guy, I need a fridge with these specifications, can you recommend one? Says he's got exactly the specifications, sends him the same.
Different halacha.
They both plug the fridge in and their fortune house burns down. One is the guy's chayav and the other guy's not.
One would be a machlokus. And one would be everybody agrees you're chayav. The opinion says by emails, virus, which you had a problem with last week, you're chayav, will say you're chayav as well. The opinion says your potter, which you had a problem last week, them says you still have a problem with your big potter. But in this particular scenario, I make you happy because everyone says you're chayav. You'd be happy.
Not happy. Not happy. The guy goes into trouble, he knows he needs one of these things.
This is a repeat from last week. We don't take repeats. We don't take repeats. We had the discussion. Remember the discussion after the shit. Okay. Now that we said, you're chayev, who's chayev? Who's chayev?
Well, if he's chayev als mumchus, the guy who sold it to him.
Who's chayev?
The shop or the company?
No, if it's because of mumchus, then it's got to be. That's the whole difference. That he said, yes, you should buy it. This is you said that's the whole difference. Not that it's faulty.
Ah!
Not where it was.
Oh!
You said, because he said to, yes, this is the one thing.
You're shouting too much and therefore not thinking too much. What did I say is the reason why there's no release clause of decision over here? It's because I came to you and you said, this is the product, trust me, I'm giving information, this is what you need to use. Okay, fine. What damage did I? I took your decision out, okay? That means there's no release clause. But who's fired? You, or what did you do? You just said, yeah, use it. Yeah, use it.
It meets the specification.
Yeah, use it. Do you know? You don't know. You're a bit negligent in saying use something which you don't really know is good. But there's also somebody else in the picture. He's negligent as well, but there's somebody else in the picture called the manufacturers. Are the manufacturers also negligent in the products over here which they created? Sure. Yeah, the manufacturers are the ones who created it in a negligent way. Definitely negligent. Didn't meet the specifications for safety. Yes? Therefore, they are definitely negligent. Now, we've got two people negligent over here. We've got the manufacturer's negligence in the actual creation of the product. We've got the retailer's negligence in saying this is good for use when he doesn't really know. And we've got the owner who doesn't have the release clause because he took his decision out. So therefore, there's no release clause. Someone's fired. Who's fired? Both of them are fired, and you get half. One of them is more fired than the other, and he pays. What's the halakha in such a case? What? Manufacture more than the retailer, you say?
No.
Or not?
Should? You should,
according to what we're saying here, no, it's
you should not. Hey, because negligence alone is the fire.
What are you talking about? Who created the fire? Who lit the fire? Who lit the fire?
Well, I maintain the electric company lit the
who?
Fire.
No.
Huh? But you don't, so it's the guy who bought it
lit
the fire.
Who lit the fire? Who lit the what thing which damaged the actual fridge? The manufacturer lit the fire. Who helped it along the way? Who helped it along the way? The retailer helped it along the way. He helped it along. But who lit the fire? The manufacturer. All the retailer did was say to the owner over here, don't make decisions. Use it. Okay? I used it without a decision and it damaged me. That's a damaging. It was a fire which I damaged me without me bringing one myself because I was taken out of the picture. But who created the fire? The manufacturer. As you see, Rav Chaim.
Rav Chaim. You're reading what's on the package and someone reading to you what's on the package.
Very big difference. You'll see in the next case, you'll see there's a big difference.
That was rejected out of hand for reasons I still don't understand.
Yeah, but if he's saying
on the package is still a decision to make. On when I'm talking to you, then I'm saying you're making the decision.
You're making the decision. The personal doesn't make a decision. I'm
okay, enough. Enough is enough. Everyone understands different parts.
Yeah.
Says Reb Chaim, you got two people negligent. Who's going to be more negligent than the other? Look at the second line. Okay, Nisko Chayev, normally somebody falls down and damages something, he's Chayev. Avogadzalami Pesher, even a Zot Pesher, because he's Otom Murd, and he's Chayev even if he's not negligent. He damaged somebody by falling over. Okay, no Shaitzos, and Elabot Mazik. That's only true when he's damaging it with himself. Mashiachim Babar, Vashanizikim, by its money, the Gabay Lesser, the Hatzin and Sugar Owners. By monetary, your money damages somebody. There's no din of shogeg and onus, only negligence. Shabbi omin the giver, the disco love for share who therefore you fall down and your money damages as falling down, then there's a release. There's not release, you're not chayim, because you're a shogeg in such a case. Shogeg on your money damages is not chayim, shogeg and you damage is. Yeah, so Chaim carries on and says, what happens where you're Bashaya, you're negligent, where your money damages, and he's Ottoman Mazik and he damages with yourself. Who'd you charge in the same action? His money and your body create damage together. Who'd you charge? So he says like this.
That's
after Gomorrah. We're going to see cases like this later on. That the rule is, there's two people over there that you can possibly charge. And both of them, in theory, you can charge, because they have fulfilled all the requirements. The one, though, who's more negligent, is the one who has to pay at the end. It's not that you share. If there's a person who's more negligent than the other, then the halacha is the one who's more negligent has to pay for the whole thing. If they're equal, they share. And if you're by yourself, you would have to pay. But if you're here and there's something more negligent, then him being more negligent means he has to pay for the whole thing. So therefore the halacha in this case is the manufacturer has to pay. The manufacturer has to pay for the fridge.
Why is he more negligent?
He's more because he created the fire. He created the fire. He just helped it pass along without getting the other person out of the way to make the decision. But he created the fire. He's more negligent.
Let's talk about a real fire.
Let's talk about
a real fire.
He knows that he's got how to make products, and he made his products in a way which wasn't good. The guy in the shop doesn't really know.
Let me ask you.
He gets away with it if the guy just goes in and buys it.
Yeah, but the question is. The question is. Okay. The manufacturer has to pay, but who has to chase the manufacturer? Now we're on agreement tonight. The shopkeeper does have to chase it. Why? Because who connected me? He connected me to this item. He got me involved in this item, so he has to get me out of this. So even though he doesn't have to pay, but he has to go through all the tip of chasing the manufacturer to get the manufacturer to pay.
And what if the manufacturer doesn't pay?
Let's
say he's bankrupt.
He's bankrupt, then it falls back onto the retailer.
It does?
Yes. We're talking about everyone here, the manufacturer and retailer, both are reasons to be chayev. It's just, if you've got each one by themselves, would be chayev, the whole thing. Just the manufacturer is more chayev, and therefore the first port of call is him.
Okay, now let me ask you a question.
Okay. Now you can ask the question.
Let's say you burn a fire with full intention that it should go down to somebody else's house.
Yes.
Before that happens, I go and take from that fire, light a candle, and burn the house myself. Who's chayev?
Not comparable.
Why?
Because here I just told you, don't worry. I didn't touch the fire. I said, don't worry. You made the fire, and I said, don't worry.
What do you mean? I gave it to him.
No, I just gave it. What do you mean?
I gave him the adapter.
Yeah,
your mazik for your dying.
Bad example.
The zavul is bad. Here I just said, don't worry.
I'm adding 1,000 tonight.
Okay, you're really like.
Yeah. Let's finish off with this case.
The sad part is I still don't understand why I'm wrong.
Everybody remembers Remiza milk product.
Boy, married, man. How old did you do wrong in that moment?
You hear me? How old are you? You remember Remiza? Yeah. Remiza, what happens over there? They sold baby
formula,
milk.
Yeah.
Baby formula milk. Baby formula milk.
Yeah.
And the problem was, is that it didn't have all the vitamins in it that it should have.
Yeah, but the lokech is poshei for buying
kamatis.
I
mean,
that's
it didn't have. And unfortunately, children who only had this product, parents didn't realize, and some of them, one or two, was actually nifta. Some of them got brain damage. Some of them damaged health wise because of the formula. Question is, are the media chayev for that damage? You say, of course.
For sure.
It was
pagum.
And so what chayev?
According to this, you go in and you buy this device, it's called chayev. If you just go and
buy
it.
Yeah, but he said the faulty device, the chayev is chayev. That's what he said.
No, only because.
Only because.
Chayev between said, this is good, you should buy it.
Only because I took you, the guy that we took you out of the picture said, yeah, this is what you need. Now you're here, what do? You
went to the supermarket. What are you saying? Because I brought it into the house?
You went to the supermarket, you went to the store, this is baby form. You bought it home, you put it in the bottle, you gave it to the kid. No! You brought it upon yourself. It's like the poison food in front of the animal. It's like the poison food in front of the
animal. No, because you could say the advertisement.
There's nothing damaging in the formula.
The advertisement.
You thought they were giving
a negative.
Think about what I thought.
No, the formula says on the box what's in it. Based on that, I made a decision.
So the device
is like that. The device has an adapter on it.
It says buy me because I have these 35.
So does
the adapter.
So does the surge protector.
What's the difference?
It says this is a surge protector.
What's the difference? It says adapter and it says it's good. What's good for? And he still says it's a release clause unless the shopkeeper says this is what you need.
But the box is saying this is what you need.
Why is the box saying this is what you need? You're saying good, but you're not saying it. Why is the box saying this is what you need? I tell you, let me give you a clue. The box of the adapter is not saying this is what you need. But the box of the baby formula is. What's the difference between the two boxes? What's the difference between the two boxes?
Baby has to eat.
What's the difference between the two boxes?
One says made in China, and one says...
Well, the food, it says what's in there, it's not in there. But the adapter, it's just a faulty adapter.
The same thing, is that?
I know, after I said it, I just wanted to see maybe you would notice that it was actually the same thing.
The fridge will work without the adapter. The baby won't work if it doesn't eat.
There's more than that. Baby formula, has it got a different control process than the other products?
Different, maybe different control process.
Different standards.
Approved by the health ministry.
Yes, that responsibilities. Yes?
What do you mean different?
Higher forms of standards.
What do you mean higher than what?
Obviously.
Than
not.
Other then standard products.
It meets the standards of these sort of
it's
review.
It's possible to say higher. They have different standards. There are standards for electrical products, and there are standards for medical products.
Are they higher?
And there are standards for food products. They're different standards. So
are they more controlled?
It's a matter of opinion. Are they more controlled?
It's not a matter of opinion. It's either is or isn't.
Is it more controlled?
It's very much
yes or no?
More control. Not only do they have standards, there's more enforcement
obviously
of those standards.
Not.
There's more enforcement of those
no,
standards. It's perceived in the eyes of the customer. Perceived in the eyes of the customer, when I buy a medicine, I know that there's 99.9% chance that there's not going to be a problem over here because I understand or perceived understand that the product I received over here is absolutely how it's supposed to be. Marshaing came with other goods in the shop. And therefore, the actual sticker labels on these type of products are the ones who are removing your decisions process of it.
No, I don't agree with that.
Okay. You don't agree because you don't agree the mitzias, but I'm talking about the customer on the street. That's how he's received. You may not agree with it because your own knowledge and your own expectation, but that's how the customer. So therefore, the decision process is taken out with the label in that particular product. Okay.
Just because it has an issue, we should have reused
it. It's a medical product, it's a food product, you should do with children, and therefore the perceived concept of customers is that what you're getting is what you're saying is what you're getting. I don't have to worry on this type of goods on the other. That's received. We're talking about receipts.
Where's the Aishal review?
So now the question, as Martis is saying, is the baby formula fire dangerous? Is it dangerous? Is it dangerous?
It's not harmful. It's not harmful. It doesn't cause any damage. The damage was that you didn't give them vitamins that you thought they were otherwise getting, but the formula itself isn't doing anything.
The formula is missing some essential vitamins. The
Anything you ingest from we know is potentially dangerous. You buy food
but that wasn't behind
that.
That
is dangerous. It's dangerous.
The formula didn't cause any harm.
It's missing something. That also could be dangerous.
No,
if
it's
you
not.
If you drink distilled water, it will kill you.
If you would add the baby formula and you would yourself add the tea afterwards, in the apple juice, whatever, then there would be nothing wrong, not the child would be great. The child's great drinking the formula. It's just you've been misled into thinking it's got something there which would be even great good, but and it doesn't, so I've been misled. But the actual formula is not dangerous. It's only dangerous because I think there's something else there, therefore I am not giving it myself. But the actual thing is good. I can give it the whole time as long as I add something else to it. Something to the child. So the formula is not Aish. It's not Aish. You can't charge it. Can't charge it.
So what is it? Gneva Sadas?
It's a grammar. I'm making you believe something's there when it's not, and that damages you. But the actual formula is not dangerous.
So what is that? What type of damage?
It's a grammar. You are causing you to damage yourself by not, and saying basically, don't take D, and you believe me, and by that you're causing yourself to be damaged. Vitamin D, don't take vitamin D, don't worry. And you say, okay. And you got damaged by not taking vitamin D, but that formula didn't damage you. So what's that halacha over there? The actual remedia company.
The one in Germany?
The actual company, the importer.
The importer.
The importer is Jewish. And Grobers, you can't charge him. The exporter in Germany is a goy. A goy is chayv in Grobers.
He's chayv bidineya, that's all you need.
He's chayv in Grobers, even if he wouldn't be bidineya. A chayv in Grobers. And therefore, he has to pay for damage. And that's kach hoya happened. They sued the German company who actually created the formula which damaged begloma the child, and they are halachically chayav to pay for any damage and any compensation you get from them. You're allowed to take from them.
Goy is chayav and grom even if it's not mazid.
Even if it's not mazid.
Where do we learn that from?
Where do you learn Grommers is bottom?
You're saying you shouldn't buy from a Jewish manufacturer.
I'm saying if you, the monetary reasons that you want to be covered monetary, then you've got your protocol is limited with the Jewish manufacturer.
You shouldn't buy from Nazis, that's what we're saying. Yeah.
It was an error.
So
I'm one of the ones that think you did it intentionally.
What? I'm one of those that think their contract, Eric, don't worry. Their contract with their hands with Masada Briot would allow you to sue them as well if you couldn't sue the boy. But that's not Masada. That din of mazik, that's the sudden din of contracts. I'm just telling you, the sudden din of mazik, the one to go to is the manufacturer. Because it's drama and the boy's hive in the drama. The sudden din of mazik, the imported Jew is not hive from drama. But the sudden contract which the company has when he sets up in this country, he has to be responsible for the project and pay for any damage his project does, then you'll be able to sue and get money from the importer if the manufacturer doesn't cover your needs in such a case. But then, for Dine Mazik, the port of call is manufactured. Have a good Shabbos.
Why exactly is